Thank you. Thank you. Good evening, Michigan, the home of the best football in the country. Am I right?
This is Mishmash, a weekly conversation where we try to unjumble an important and sometimes under the radar statewide story that affects you. I'm Shayna Roth.
And I'm Zach Orchow.
This week was Governor Gretchen Whitmer's sixth State of the State address. Whitmer's speech was peppered with 80s song lyrics and really focused on playing the hits. I mean, she wanted to get across what Democrats have done. And I think despite it being a Michigan-focused speech, she wasn't just speaking to Michiganders. I mean, there's the 2024 election coming up, and I think she was trying to tell people, look at everything that can get done when Democrats are in power. Don't you want more of this? Zach, what was your number one takeaway from the speech?
Well, besides my sadness that the governor left my favorite band, REM, out of her lengthy, and I do mean lengthy, list of 80s music references, I agree, this was a speech far more about saying, look what we did, instead of here's what I want to do.
Yeah.
The tax credits she proposed are very targeted. I don't think those are going to be felt by a wide swath of the population if they do become law. Accelerating the phase-in of free preschool for all four-year-olds is a big deal, but not a drastic new policy for this governor. And having the state cover 2 years of community college is the one major sweeping proposal. You know, the governor and the Democratic majority, they did have a very big year last year. They passed more major new policy changes than any legislature in memory. But there's a couple big items like paid family leave and a prescription drug advisory board, both sought by the governor, still hanging fire. And with the 54-54 tie in the House until late April, the reality is there just isn't a lot of bandwidth this year for the governor and the Democrats in the legislature to move policy. Once the House is 56-54 for the Democrats again in April, the focus is going to be on getting the budget done. Shayna, what topics did the governor omit that stood out to you?
You know, I really thought that there would be at least some mention of the upcoming election, even a, hey, make sure you get out the vote for Dems shout out. I mean, she did mention some of Biden's initiatives, but it was not the sort of semi-stump speech that you might expect in such a consequential election year. Also, she didn't talk about paid family leave, which was a big deal for her in the past. And when you and I spoke with her after the speech, Governor Whitmer said that's not completely off the table, but she indicated her proposal for a caregiver credit would help many of the same people.
You know, on Wednesday night, I offered up a caregiver tax credit, which I think is something that could really help a lot of people in Michigan. We know nationally people spend hundreds of billions of dollars a year to care for a child with long-term needs or a sick or aging parent. Michiganders are doing that work. I've been there, a member of the sandwich generation, caring for my mom at the end of her life, my daughter at the beginning of hers. I know that this is a way that we can help put more money back in people's pockets who are trying to give their loved one dignity and care at home, but are struggling to make ends meet.
Zach, the State of the State speech is always a big start to the political year, but what did Republicans think of Whitmer's speech?
Shayna, probably not surprisingly, the Republicans didn't give this speech much love.
And shocking.
Totally shocking. And seemed to have a field day with the 80s music theme as reflecting what they view as dated policies from the Democratic trifecta. The Republicans do have some juice right now with the House split 54-54. They know it. They can put the brakes on anything until late April when two new Democratic members presumably will be seated. House Republicans want concessions from the Democrats on shared power, things like committee memberships, bill activity, and so forth. And that's not going to happen. But they also want more advance involvement on bills and amendments, which might be something the Democrats have to consider if they want to pass anything for the next 3 months.
You know, I always get a kick out of whenever I watch these speeches is looking into the audience and seeing who's standing and who's not during ovations. That's really how you can tell who's where the Republicans are sitting and where the Democrats are sitting or the opposite party is sitting.
The Republicans really didn't stand up at all. They struggled to even stand up for the Detroit Lions enthusiasm the governor had to say. So I guess that says it all.
Zach, that's okay, because you and I have enough enthusiasm for the Lions to go around.
you know, with all the 80s talk, my 7-year-old self's heart was broken in 1983 when the Lions lost in the playoffs at San Francisco. And believe me, I am pulling for vengeance this weekend.
If you want to hear our whole conversation with Governor Whitmer, you should check out the Mishmash podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Well, we're going to get into our whole conversation with Governor Gretchen Whitmer right after this short break.
New from the Embedded podcast. Female athletes have always needed grit and talent. But for decades, they've also needed a certificate.
There was chit-chat about, is that really a woman?
And even now, they're still being checked and questioned. Their story is the newest series from CBC and NPR's Embedded. It's called Tested. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer, welcome to Mishmash. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good to be with you.
So let's start out with this. You successfully ran for governor on fixing the damn roads. And as you look at your final 3 years in office, what do you think it will take to enact a long-term investment plan that fixes the roads, closes the $3.9 billion annual deficit flagged by your growing Michigan Together Council, and ends the transportation funding crisis that has really plagued the state since the 1990s? Basically, you got 3 years left to keep the damn roads fixed. How do you do that?
Well, first, I'll start with this. You know, in my first day of the state, I came out with a bold plan that actually would have fixed the problem, but I couldn't get the legislature to pick it up, much less counter with an alternative idea. And so in year two, I rolled out the Rebuilding Michigan bonding plan, put $3.5 billion into our roads. I last night called on MDOT to release the $700 million remaining and keep the work happening as we look at the potential cliff from the bond coming to a close. And we got work to do with the legislature to have a real long-term fix. I don't anticipate that comes before everyone stops and goes home to campaign this summer. But I do anticipate this is a conversation that we got to continue and see some real action, hopefully by the end of this calendar year.
Governor, you're making a number of new program investments that you announced in your State of the State speech on Wednesday night. And you're proposing some new tax credits as well. There's the expansion of preschool, the Great Start Readiness Program to all four-year-olds, the idea of all high school graduates being able to get 2 years of community college paid for by the state. But this is coming at a time when the state's forecast to have less revenue available for the coming fiscal year. Do you anticipate having to cut some programs or make some more difficult choices?
I don't. You know, you will get an opportunity to digest the budget presentation in a couple of weeks when I share our budget with the state legislature. One of the things I'm really proud of, Zach, is that we have been able to put Michigan's fiscal house in a strong position. We paid down over $18 billion of debt that was accrued before I became governor. We have built up a state rainy day fund that is at an all-time high. We even created a rainy day fund for education so that in the event that there are blips in the economy that we don't have to cut kids' education. And we've seen our credit rating improve. So we've done a lot of really good things. I think this budget is in a strong position. And as we've looked at all of the different expectations that it's built on, we feel confident that these are investments not only can we afford to make, but we would be foolish not to make. We've got to be a state of lifelong learners, and getting our youngest Michiganders prepared to learn with that, you know, universal pre-K, to ensuring that young people have got a path forward to continue sharpening skills and getting to a good, better paying job. We know it means real money for people, $23,000 a year more for someone who's got that that associate's degree than someone who doesn't. And that's why leveling that financial barrier that keeps so many people from pursuing it is going to be really important, not just for the individual, although that's the primary, reason for pursuing this, but also to ensure we've got a concentration of talent in Michigan as business looks for talented workforce.
I want to talk about some of the feasibility of your plans. You had a lot of really big goals, particularly the economic incentive packages, that you're going to have to get through the legislature. And some of them have opposition, obviously, by Republicans, but, you know, some Democrats as well. And you're looking at several months without that Democratic majority. What is your plan for working across the aisle to get these things done?
Well, the thing about economic development is historically it has been supported by people on both sides of the aisle, and I'm grateful for that. You look at the R&D tax credit that we want to get done. It has gotten some bipartisan support. Look at the Renaissance zones. That also has gotten some bipartisan support, as has something like Hire Michigan, which allows and helps businesses hire within our state. We've got to be competitive. We've got to out-compete other states and other countries for that matter. And so these type of tools can really enhance our toolkit. We've had a lot of success in the last 5 years, but we can't rest on our laurels. It's an incredibly competitive world out there. And so being able to say, yes, in Michigan, we've got the Renaissance Zone. We're going to incentivize research and development so it's done right here. Or if you train up your workers, you're going to be able to do so affordably in a state like this. These are important additional tools that have traditionally gotten bipartisan support. So it's my hope and expectation that they will going forward as well.
Governor, are you going to have to give some ground to some of the Democratic members who want to see a pretty large percentage of some of these economic incentives going toward community benefits? There's a plan in the Senate that would have a pretty large percentage. It might be 20% of an incentive package go toward the community itself. I know this has given some folks some heartburn that we could be talking about maybe $200 million on some of these deals. What do you think about that?
Well, we'll see where the conversation goes. You know, I understand the desire to ensure that as we are incentivizing investment, that it is geared toward making sure we get a return and that a community is stronger because of the investment. And I think those are laudable goals and something I'm willing to work with. We've not seen action yet on those bills. And so it's something that we are having ongoing conversations. But at the end of the day, my goal is to make sure that we are able to outcompete other states and earn investment of incumbent businesses as they grow here and others, you know, we want them to call their home Michigan.
Talk us through your bandwidth to do these big policy initiatives. Do you think that these are things like the pre-K and community, like the free education plan for pre-K and community college? I mean, that's a big policy initiative. But you also have a big budget coming up and a lot of things that you want to do with that budget. How are you going to balance those policy initiatives with that really crucial budget?
Well, I've always believed in the power of and, right? So we've got, I think, lots that we are capable of. I know that in an even numbered year, it's keeping the legislature focused on policy, getting the budget done, making sure that we've got a productive early part of the year as we get closer and closer to an election. I know they're going to be on the doors and wanting to be home, but I want to get as much done this year as we can. And so that's why I think you'll see really an aggressive push as I introduce the budget in a couple of weeks to get moving and to do as much before that, the 1st of June, as we can. And that includes the whole state budget and a number of these policy issues. So I'm not slowing down. I know they're all on the ballot, but I'm not slowing down.
How much are you planning to stump for Joe Biden?
You know what? I think it's going to be a very competitive election. It always is here in Michigan. And I think this cycle is going to be as competitive as any other we've seen. So getting out and telling the story of all the investments that his administration has made that people are seeing on the ground here, I think is going to be really important.
Governor, one of your big proposals from the fall speech was paid family leave. But so far, that hasn't seemed to get any traction in the legislature. You did not mention it in the Wednesday night State of the State speech. Have you given up on that, or are you still hopeful you could try to achieve something there?
I've not given up on it, but I'll tell you, on Wednesday night, I offered up a caregiver tax credit, which I think is something that could really help a lot of people in Michigan. We know nationally people spend hundreds of billions of dollars a year to care for a child with long-term needs or a sick or aging parent. Michiganders are doing that work. I have been there, a member of the sandwich generation, caring for my mom at the end of her life, my daughter at the beginning of hers. I know that this is a way that we can help put more money back in people's pockets who are trying to give their loved one dignity and care at home, but are struggling to make ends meet. $5,000 caregiver tax credit, I think, is something that would help a lot of the same people that I've been focused on trying to make their lives a little bit easier, especially with how stressful that is in the first place, but also how costly it is. So this, I think, is one way that we can work toward that goal.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer, thank you so much for joining us here on Mishmash.
Thank you. Glad Mishmash is back.
Thanks again to our guest, Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Mishmash is produced by WDET, Detroit's NPR station, in collaboration with the Gongwer News Service. Mishmash is hosted and produced by me, Shayna Roth, and Gongwer's Zach Gorchow and Alethea Kasman. Additional production and editing by the wonderfully magnanimous Hearns Laguerre Jr. Mixing, mastering, and music by the talented Sam Bobian. Our digital team is the mighty Dave Kim, Sophia Jozwiak, and Jenny Sherman. And our news director is our fearless leader, Jerome Vaughn. And our podcast manager is the intrepid David Lyons. As always, if you listen to this podcast and want to support it, you can do so by leaving us a review or a comment wherever you listen. That really helps to get the word out about Mishmash. You can also subscribe or follow us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you tell your friends about how much you've been learning from Mishmash and send them a link. Remember, we're produced by a public radio station, which means we are listener supported. So if you really, really like the podcast, you can go to WDET.org/give and support our amazing radio station. Become a member at WDET.org.